Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord tells us to rejoice because if we're born again and saved, we have a lot to rejoice about because God is our Father, the Holy Spirit is our Comforter, Jesus our Elder Brother. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we have the perfect, eternal, everlasting Word of God in our authorized King James Bible that we can look at and we can trust and we can put our faith in. And so we honor that. And I was just wondering, Preacher, as we were talking today, now at the inauguration, does it mention what Bible that Trump used when he was inaugurated?
He used two Bibles. He used the Lincoln Bible
and then a family Bible that I guess that his mother had given him when he was a boy.
Okay, well, we know then both of them are the King James Bible. And so
certainly the Lincoln one was, that's for sure.
Yeah. And so his mother's Baptist lady, and she read out of the King James Bible, and so he was inaugurated on it. And I think most of our presidents had put their hands on a King James Bible. Now, George Washington thought so much of it that he kissed it at his inauguration. And the Bible says, "I will honor my word above all my name." And so the Bible that has been honored above all his name has been the King James Bible. It's been honored by presidents, by literary figures, by all types of people. It has been honored, and it's been honored through the worldwide circulation of it up to over 5 billion copies have been circulated. And it just keeps right on going despite all of its attackers. Every generation, there's millions that go back to it. Today it is read by people that read the Bible every day, more than all the rest of them put together. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they have heard the voice of our wonderful Savior in the King James Bible. And so once again, God has honored his word, and we see it in front of the world. The president puts his hands on a King James Bible because that's the one God has honored. And God said he would preserve his words. I noticed that some people that are enemies of the King James say God didn't say that. Well, that's one of the biggest lies they've ever said, because it's stated in many ways. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And he's given us anything that the Bible talks about. The word of God is pointing like a laser to the King James Bible. We use it, we call it that, but it's the word of God. And it's the perfect word of God. We can look at it, the Bible says. So that's what we're talking about today. But we have our report on science, and then we'll get back to our subject today. But we have our scientist in residence, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And again, I want to remind people they can check out the website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And at that website, you can listen to past programs. You can also find some of the resources that Bruce has mentioned from time to time, and some more material where Bruce is teaching and singing, all there at whereisgodsword.com. And I want to mention something today that is an interesting statement that occurs the very first verse of the Bible. And this is an important statement because it sums up a lot of what we find in the Bible in this first statement. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And really, that sums up everything, because that explains everything. You know, the controversy over in Israel, God said, that's my land. Well, that's his land because he created it. God said to the Jewish people, they're my people. Well, they're his people because he created them. And then, of course, we belong to him because he created us. And so when you trust Christ as your Savior, he not only created us, he redeemed us and all those sorts of things. But the whole of heaven and earth and everything that's in it belongs to God. And this is an important statement also because some people try to conceive of God as being contained within the universe, and that's not the case. You cannot be contained in something or contained by something that you're creating, so to speak. You know, you have to be there before it's created, or you can't create it. Doesn't that make sense? You cannot, you say, well, I could build a box that would go around me. Well, yeah, but you exist before the box exists. So you're willingly hemming yourself in that box. But this is important because it simply says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is not constrained by time and space like we are, because time and space are created by God. He is sovereign over them. And as a result, he is what in physics is often called the first cause. Physicists believe that there has to be a first cause. Even those that reject the Bible, for the most part, believe there has to be a first cause. Somebody once said it that you either believe in an eternal someone with infinite power or an eternal something with unlimited potential. But something has to be the first cause. We know this partly because of the laws of thermodynamics. And basically, the first law of thermodynamics says that energy is never created or destroyed, in the sense that inside the system of the universe, the sum total of energy, and also the law of conservation of mass comes into this, because we know from Einstein's famous equation E equals mc squared that energy and mass can be mass can be converted into energy. That's what makes a nuclear bomb work so well. But so we know that inside of a closed system, which the universe is, energy and mass can never be changed, the amount of it. They can change forms. I can wind the spring on a watch, and I've taken kinetic energy and turned it into potential energy. I can charge a battery where I, put electrical energy into chemical energy form and all kinds of things. But energy is always constant. The amount of energy and as it relates to matter is always constant within a system, a closed system. And we also know that from the second law of thermodynamics, that energy always goes from order to disorder. We call that entropy. All you have to do is look at your kid's room after they cleaned it. Within just a short time, it's a mess again, isn't it? You don't have to work at dirtying your house, do you? You don't have to work at making your car rust. I mean, things go from order to disorder. That's called entropy. And basically, energy spreads out until eventually, the entire universe, without any outside help, will have the energy so spread out evenly that the temperature of the universe will reach what's called absolute zero, which means that basically nothing's moving. Without getting into all the details there, and everything is just cold and dark. Well, the reason that that's important is we know the universe couldn't have existed forever, because if the universe existed forever, we'd have already reached that point a long time ago. So we'd just be a cold, dark universe. And we know that the universe can't have existed too awfully long ago, because even people who reject the Bible say, well, in a few billion years or trillion years, the universe will be so cold and dark that you'd never be able to go anywhere or even know that there's anywhere to go to. And so all of this points to the universe having a beginning. And so the question then comes, is this first God or cause an eternal something, just an impersonal something that had infinite potential, or is it an eternal someone that had infinite power? And when we look at this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created. If I picked up a coin and said, hey, look at this pebble that I found, you would say, well, that's not a pebble, that's a coin. If I said, well, how do you know that? Well, look, it's got a design on it. It's got writing on it. It's got a form to it that's distinct from what you would expect from just a randomly produced pebble. Well, it shows that somebody created it. Well, our universe has design. It has form. There's language. There's laws. There's all these things that indicate that there's an eternal someone that had infinite power that in the beginning said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning created the heavens and the earth. And I think that you can see that right here in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the heaven and the earth. And here's the thing. If there's a someone that created the heaven and the earth, the question then becomes, who is that someone and what's your relationship to him? So I'll turn that back over to you, Bruce.
Thank you for that good report. You know, we were just talking about this now. I understand where the Pope has recognized what the PLO or something and sent an ambassador to them or accepted
Palestinians. They opened a Palestinian embassy at the Vatican, and that was on January 14th.
And according to the book of Joel, before Christ comes back, he's going to be judging the nations for parting my land, and God has given it to Israel, and the Bible talks about it. And so we know that a fellow wrote a book and shows every time the United States president has proposed this way, a storm hits. And one time a storm hit his house right after his speech and nearly demolished his house. And then, of course, when we forced Israel to leave the Gaza Strip, we got hit with Katrina, 120,000 houses were demolished. And so now the Pope has, accepted an ambassador or something. And
They established an embassy in the Vatican.
An embassy in the Vatican. And so what happens? Well, they have a huge earthquake follows it. And the Bible talks about this, that there's going to be earthquakes on the earth when God's judgment. Now, we were discussing the other day in church about the Christian involved in the tribulation. And Moses first mentions the tribulation in the latter days. And so the tribulation is something connected particularly with Israel, where God is using it to bring them to himself. And the Bible talks about this. But it says to the Christian, though, that we are to wait for our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath delivered us from the wrath to come. And so we are delivered from that. And it says he has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the wrath of God is going to be on this earth, and there's going to be huge earthquakes. And finally, one earthquake is going to be so strong that every wall on earth is coming down. But God's judgment, while it's on this earth, the book of Revelation mentions the Lamb over and over again. And the reason it does that is that even in all this wrath of God, when even millions are destroyed, it mentions the Lamb of God because Jesus, by being the Lamb of God, he's the Son of God who, by himself on the cross, has paid for all of our sins. And anybody in repentance, willing to turn from sin and turn from their false religion and put their faith in Jesus Christ, they're forgiven of all their sin. And they stand before God in great joy without any record they've ever sinned. And so during this time of wrath, it mentions the Lamb of God who has taken away our sins. But it's just a preview. This great earthquake that has taken place in Italy is just a preview of that, and it follows on the embassies that are open. Now, the papacy has the vicar of Christ, means the substitute Christ, and Jesus said, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. And so as Christ, he is saying that the papacy, way back in the time of Damasus, who first said this, that God is through with the Jews and all the curses are on them and all the blessings are in the Roman church. And so now the papacy or the Pope as Christ on earth, which actually he is, Vicar of Christ means substitute Christ. He not only says that, but Pope Pius XI said that everybody should recognize him as God on earth. So as the substitute Christ, he believes that he has the right to the land of Israel. And so therefore, they had sent the Crusades over there to get control of Israel, but they were driven out by the Muslims. But the Bible says, finally, he will go to the temple of God and sit in the temple of God and say that he is God. Well, the papacy has already said they're in God on earth, Christ on earth. And so they have opposed Israel going back to the land. Even when they were, the Jews were talking about it back in the 19th century, they sent a letter to them and tried to discourage them. And all along, they've discouraged the Jews from being on that land, which they say belongs to the Roman Church. But no, the Jews, the land belongs to the Jews. God's given it to them forever, and it belongs to them. And God says he'll judge the nations for parting my land. And you just see this with this earthquake. And so once again, prophecy is coming to pass. And I understand that recently more and more people in Israel have come to put their faith in the Messiah, who is Jesus. And I think of the passage where it says, I'll pour out my spirit upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And apparently this is beginning to happen even in Israel. And it ends up when all the nations of the earth in Zechariah come against Jerusalem. And then it says, God is speaking here. And he says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And this is in Zechariah chapter 12. And when they see Jesus, they're going to see the nails in his hands and in his side. And then it's the great day of Yom Kippur where they're mourning because they've recognized that he is the one that they have rejected for all of these years, and all their troubles have come because of that. And so they put their faith in him. And then it says in the next chapter in Zechariah, it says there is a fountain open for sin. We sing about that. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood. And Moses said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And in the Old Testament, in the book of Zechariah, it says, by the blood of thy covenant, thou hast removed the prisoners from the wells without water. By the blood of the covenant, thy covenant, that is of the Messiah, thou hast removed the prisoners from the wells without water. It's by his blood we are safe from hell. So by faith in him. And of course, Moses and the prophets all talk about Jesus coming and talk about the end of the age, which we're in right now. But our program today is to uphold the Authorized King James Bible. And I think of, first of all, in the Old Testament, God says this to the Jewish people in Isaiah 59. He says, this is my covenant with Jacob, that is with the Jews, with Israel. The words that I speak unto thee shall not depart out of thy mouth, or out of the mouth of thy seed, or out of the mouth of thy seed from this generation forever. And so God has promised that the Jews will always have those words. And Israel was very meticulous in keeping those words. My goodness, they would count each letter that had it would have a number to it, and then they would add up the letters for each sentence, and the letters had to add up so that every letter had to be perfect. And Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle, and that referred to Hebrew letters. That's why the Old Testament is not based on the Septuagint or the Greek, because a jot and tittles are Hebrew letters. And he says it won't pass until it's all fulfilled. It will, every last thing in Moses and the prophets will be fulfilled. And it's all about him. So the King James is based on the Hebrew Masoretic text kept brought down to us. And the Ben Kayyem edition is the proper one that it is based on. And it's another reason why the King James Bible is the true Word of God. Now, in here it says, I'm going to read from the book of Acts chapter 18 in verse 19. And a certain Jew named Apollos was born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now, dealing with Bible translations, the Word of God tells you where the true translation is. Many places it talks about the Word of God. When it talks about it, it's like a laser pointing to the King James Bible, and we give you these verses all the time. Now, the reason that the modern ones are wrong is, for instance, God says, I have redeemed you in the Old Testament in Hosea, and you have lied unto me. We have preachers on the radio today. God has redeemed them, and they've lied about him. God says they've lied about you, about me. You lie about him when you recommend a new ASV or NIV because it says that Joseph's father is Jesus there. Joseph, Jesus' father is Joseph. And Jesus corrects Mary for saying that. I must be about my father's business. Not only that, the devil always wanted to be worshipped, so in the NIV, he takes the name of Jesus and calls himself the Morning Star, the very name of Jesus. It's in there, so it's in there in the NIV. And in these modern versions, Jesus' kingdom is no longer of this world. And Jesus says, now is my kingdom, is from not of thence. It's now is my kingdom, not of this world, in other words. So they take the word now out. Then it means that he does not have an earthly kingdom on the earth. And so that has been changed. In 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. And then they take out God and put in he who. There's no Greek manuscripts that said he who. And 99% of the ancient manuscripts back the King James Bible. And yet, you still have preachers today on there promoting all kinds of corrupt versions. And somehow they will not even check the evidence. The books are out there circulating that show you where the changes have been made. Now, we read about this. I was talking to a fellow from Borromeo Seminary. I guess he was a monk. We had a discussion in a McDonald's restaurant, and so after a while in the discussion, he said, let's all get together. I says, well, that sounds like a good idea. I says, if we could all go by the Bible, we could all get together. And he says, well, you know, the Bible's come down to us through many different translations and so on, and so we can't be exactly sure, that's what he was saying, what it really says. And I said, well, I trust my King James Bible. You know what he said right away? We go by the Alexandrian text. Well, I knew that already. The Roman Church goes by the Alexandrian text. And that's the text corrupted by Origen, passed on by Eusebius. And Eusebius gave it to Constantine, who put out these ancient Bibles. And Pope got a hold of one of these, and Tischendorf got a hold of one of them, Vaticanus of Sinaiticus. And these two disagree with each other in 3,000 places. And the modern ones are based on that. They're called the eclectic text because their manuscripts, less than 1%, they all disagree with each other. Vatican and Sinaiticus disagree in 3,000 words with each other. That's what they base it on. So Nestle's 23rd edition is the new ASV, but then they found the find of many papyri at Oxyrhynchus, Egypt, which back up the King James. And so then the 24th edition comes out, and it's the NIV. And that's corrupt too, but they changed some of the verses back towards the King James. But that's not good enough, so now I think they have the 26th edition changing the words all the time. Well, the Word of God liveth and abideth forever, and God's Word doesn't change. And we have it in the Authorized Bible, and these other ones come and go. Now, there's preachers on the radio recommending these versions, and they're eloquent. They're maybe somewhat educated and eloquent preachers, and they recommend the NIV and New ASV that come out of Alexander, Egypt. Now, what does God say about this? First of all, in Jeremiah, he warns against Egypt over and over again. Why would you get a Bible out of Egypt? The true text comes from Antioch. It's called the Antiochian text, the base of the King James. And a certain Jew, it says here, named Apollos, was born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things the Lord, not knowing on the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly. But he didn't have it all. He was mixed up. He was confused. He didn't have all the right information. Why? He came from Alexandria, Egypt. That's the basis of the modern text. You know, the Alexandrians were there disputing with Stephen when he got stoned. They were there at the stoning of Stephen, and they were there disputing with him. And here's the mixed-up Bible scholar named Apollos. Oh, he was good, but he was confused. And that's what they are today. Here you have 99% of the ancient manuscripts coming from Antioch and coming from Greece. And they follow the Alexandrian manuscript basis for the NIV, New ASV, and all the modern corrupt versions of the scripture. Well, God has the Word of God. He says, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And so God's people today, they still read the King James. The ones that read it every day are reading the King James more than all the other ones put together. Why? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. And our truth in the King James, it's true, and it's all truth. We don't correct it. God says we can look at the perfect law of liberty, which we have today in our authorized King James Bible. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.